Jeremiah chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. To whom shall I speak and give warning, that they may hear? Indeed, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot give heed. Behold, the word of the Lord is a reproach to them. They have no delight in it. Therefore, I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary of holding it in. I will pour it out on the children outside and on the assembly of young men together. For even the husband shall be taken with the wife, the aged with him who is full of days. And their houses shall be turned over to others, fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand against the inhabitants of the land, says the Lord. Because from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. They have also healed the hurt of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed, nor did they know how to blush. Therefore they shall fall among those who fall. At the time I punish them, they shall be cast down, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen. I don't suppose anyone would want to be considered an apostate from God. Would you want to be considered a backslider? One who has turned his back on God? One who has forsaken God? That's what Judah had done. And though we might not be wanting to be referred to as backsliders or apostates, sometimes we make choices and decisions in our life that say that that's exactly what we want to do. And so I thought it would be good for us to look at this particular text, because in this text, Jeremiah gives a step-by-step process that one might follow if he wanted to become a backslider, if one want to fall away from God. Now, I would hope that you wouldn't follow this guide. I would hope that what we would do is we would look at the step-by-step process that Judah took in backsliding and not make the same steps they did. Let's first of all begin our study by defining backsliding and observing it in both the northern nation, Israel, and the southern nation, Judah, because both of them fell away from God. They were apostates. They were backsliders. In Jeremiah 2 and in verse 32, can a virgin forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people, God says, have forgotten me days without number. That's what backsliding is. To forget God. To turn one's back on God. To forsake God. Jeremiah 2 and in verse 13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water, or that hold no water. God reckons himself here through the prophet Jeremiah as a living fountain, a fountain that produces life. But what had Judah done? Well, they had forsaken the fountain that gives living water. They had forsaken the fountain that is able to keep them alive. And they'd hewn for themselves cisterns. That is, they carved for themselves idols. That's what they've done. They've hewn for themselves cisterns. Cisterns that are cracked. Cisterns that are broken. That hold no water. How is those things going to produce life? They're not. But that's forsaking God. That's backsliding. Turning one's back on God. Jeremiah 2 and in verse 19. Your own wickedness will correct you, and your backsliding will rebuke you. Know therefore and see that it is an evil and bitter thing that you have forsaken the Lord your God. And the fear of me is not in you, says the Lord God of hosts. There is no reverence and no respect for God in Judah because they have forsaken him. They've turned their back on him. They are backsliders. Judah actually justified or made the northern 10 tribes look righteous in the eyes of God compared to their own wickedness. In Jeremiah 3 and in verse 6, the Lord said also to me in the days of Josiah the king, have you seen what backsliding Israel has done? She has gone up on every high mountain and under every green tree and there played the harlot. And I said, after she had done all of these things, return to me. But she did not return, and her treacherous, unfaithful, deceptive sister Judah saw it. So Judah saw what Israel had done. Judah should have learned from what Israel had done. But Judah didn't. She did not return, and her treacherous sister, we saw that word treacherous not long ago in a lesson. Those who deal treacherously with their wives, remember? Those who deal unfaithful with their wives, deceitful with their wives. Then I saw that for all the causes for which backsliding Israel had committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a certificate of a divorce. Yet her treacherous sister, unfaithful sister, Judah did not fear, but went and played the harlot also. So it came to pass, through her casual harlotry, that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and trees. And yet for all of this, her treacherous sister Judah has not turned to me with her whole heart, but in pretense, says the Lord. Oh, Judah has pretended to serve the Lord. She's pretended to be faithful to the Lord, but she's unfaithful and deceptive. Deceitful. She's just as much of a backslider as Israel was. As a matter of fact, she's even more of a backslider than Israel was. Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 51. Samaria did not commit half of your sins. Samaria here, that was the city, but Samaria is mentioned when Israel is under consideration. Samaria did not commit half your sins, but you have multiplied your abominations more than they, and have justified your sisters by all the abominations which you have done. You have justified your sisters. Sisters, plural, talking about cities of Samaria that belong around Samaria. So they justified, that is, they made them appear righteous compared to their conduct. You who judge your sisters, bear your own shame also, because the sins which you committed were more abominable than theirs. They are more righteous than you. Now Israel wasn't righteous, and all the cities that belonged around Samaria, they were not righteous. That's why they were taken away in the Assyrian captivity. But in a sense, they were more righteous than Judah, because Judah was as twice as much of a harlot as Israel was. Yes, be disgraced also. Be ashamed. And bear your own shame because you justified your sisters. Again, the sisters under consideration as reference to cities. Ezekiel 23 and in verse 11. Now although her sister, Oholibah, saw this, Oholibah is a symbolic name for Jerusalem. Although her sister Oholibah, although Jerusalem saw this, speaking of Judah, she became more corrupt in her lust than she, that is, Ahola, Samaria, another name for the city of Samaria, identified with Israel. And in her harlotry more corrupt than her sister's harlotry. So Judah actually justified, made Israel, even though they had been taken away in the Assyrian captivity, made them appear righteous in the sight of God compared to what Judah was. Judah was very corrupt. And so the people of Judah simply would add to their guilt by continually rejecting the warnings of God through the prophets that he would send to them. 2 Chronicles 3:36 and in verse 15. And the Lord God of their fathers sent warnings to them by his messengers, rising up early and singing them. We've seen that in times past, rising up early. That is, God continually did this. On a consistent basis, he would send them prophets to warn them, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place, that is on Jerusalem. But they mocked the messengers of God, that is the prophets of God, despised his word, scoffed at his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord rose against his people till there was no remedy. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 25 and in verse 4, and the Lord has sent to you all of his servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, but you have not listened nor inclined your ear to hear. And so they became more corrupt. They had not only corrupted his teaching and his worship, but they loved it like that. The priests and the prophets of the day were corrupt, and the people loved it like that. Jeremiah 5 and in verse 30. An astonishing and horrible thing has been committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule by their own power. It's as if they're in it together. The prophets prophesy falsely. You know, Jeremiah and other prophets were prophesying the truth. They were prophesying the doom that was going to come to Judah if they did not repent and return to God. But there were false prophets at this time saying, peace, peace, peace. Everything's all well. Everything's going to be fine. And the priests went right along with them. And my people, God says through Jeremiah, my people love to have it so. But what will you do in the end? What will you do in the end? When God's wrath has come, what are you going to do then? Let's note now a step-by-step process that Judah took away into apostasy, into backsliding. First of all, they simply refused to hear God's message. Jeremiah 6. In Jeremiah 6 and in verse 10, to whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Indeed, their ear is uncircumcised and they cannot give heed. An uncircumcised ear is an ear that is unable to hear. Behold, the word of the Lord is a reproach to them. They have no delight in it. When you have no delight in the word of the Lord, when you have no delight, no joy in hearing the word, when you're not willing to assemble to hear the preaching of the word and the teaching of the word, when you simply have no joy and delight in it, beware. You're on the first step toward abandoning and forsaking God and turning your back on him. This is the beginning of backsliding. Isaiah 30 and verse 9, Isaiah said that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children who will not hear the law of the Lord. They'll not hear, they'll not listen, they'll not give heed to it. Yes, this is the beginning of backsliding at any time and anywhere and by any people. Doesn't matter. This was the same in Jeremiah and Isaiah's day as it was in Jesus' day. Matthew 13 and verse 15, as he quotes from Isaiah 6 and verse 10. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their heart and turn so that I should heal them. Not only was it true in Jesus' day, but it's true in the early church as well. 2 Peter 3 and in verse 5, for this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. But they would not listen to the warning that there is a judgment to come. By that same word that spoke about a judgment to come when the world was first destroyed by water, the same word still stands that there will be a judgment to follow. A second step in backsliding was that Judah was more concerned about material things. Jeremiah 6 and in verse 13, because from the least of them even to the greatest of them, from the least important even to the greatest of them, the most important, You might say those of a high position in the land. So from those who are just down there at nowhere and consider themselves nobody, even to those who are most important in the land. Note this, everyone is given to covetousness. Everyone is. And from the prophet even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. Covetousness is the desire for more. Usually it's the desire for more material gain, but one can be covetous for many different things. Here the word covetousness has reference as well to taking that which does not belong to one, even by violence. Violence is involved in that Hebrew word covetousness on this occasion. And from the prophet even to the priest, everyone deals falsely, deceitfully. They beguile people, use fraud and tricks and scams on people in order to take from what belongs to them simply because they are covetousness. Consider the warning that Jesus gave in regard to covetousness. Matthew 6 and in verse 19, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth or rust destroy, or where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth or rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal." In Luke 12 and in verse 15, he said, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' And he said, 'I will do this. I'll pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods, and I will say to my soul, Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided?" But Jesus wasn't the only one who dealt with covetousness, because it's a problem even among people today. And so Paul and others spoke about it as well. 1 Timothy 6 and in verse 7, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness or covetousness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4 and in verse 18, "While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." That's where we ought to put our man, and that's where we ought to put our concentration and time in accumulating great wealth toward God, instead of trying to accumulate material things in this life. When we greatly emphasize the things of this life, we simply will miss worship and will be tempted to cheat and will give ourselves over to the lust of the flesh and any number of things simply because of the love of things. But that was a step in the backsliding of the nation of Judah. They lived in a time of prosperity. And because of the prosperity that they enjoyed, they wanted more and more and more. And they even went to the extent of cheating, defrauding people out of that which rightfully belonged to them. The next step that Judah made in their backsliding was Judah deceived themselves, actually. They deceived themselves with falsehoods. In Jeremiah 6 and in verse 14, let's read this in connection with verse 13, the latter portion of verse 13, because it's connected. "And from the prophet even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. They," the prophets and the priests, "they have also healed the hurt of my people slightly, saying, 'Peace, peace,' when there is no peace." They have healed the hurt of my people. Here Judah is, you might say Judah is a nation that is crippled, completely and totally incapacitated. And what does the prophets and the priests do? They just stick a Band-Aid on them and say, you're okay. That's like going to the emergency room with a gaping wound in your chest and the doctor putting a Band-Aid on it and say, you'll be all right. Destruction was headed their way. Spiritually, they were in ruin. But the prophets and the priests were preaching the message that they wanted to hear. Peace, peace, everything is going to be okay. God's not going to destroy the city that He loves, the city of Jerusalem. He's not going to destroy His dwelling place, the temple. What nation could actually destroy this great city of Jerusalem? So peace, peace. That is, the people simply deceived themselves with the falsehoods they were being fed by the false prophets of that day. And when we want to have our way, it's easy for us to convince ourselves that all is peace and love when there is no peace. Simply because we have not a love of the truth. 2 Thessalonians 2 and in verse 10, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. Yes, let the preacher preach exactly what you want to hear. Let him soothe your ears and soothe your conscience with a good message and an easy sounding message. Not a message of doom and destruction and judgment. But let him say you're going to be all right. And you'll deceive yourselves because you do not have a love of the truth. Because when we want others to say what we want to hear, it'll be easy to find them. Just as it was in the first century, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. And so the people of Jeremiah's day was turned aside to a smooth message. Peace, peace, peace. But there was going to be no peace unless they repented and returned to God. Because they had turned their back on Him, they were backsliders. And unless they repented and returned to God, they were going to receive judgment from God because of that. Another step in Judah's backsliding is that they simply came to the condition and the point in their life where, I guess you might say, their conscience was so hardened and so seared that they were not ashamed. They could not blush. Jeremiah 6 and in verse 15. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No. Note the exclamation point. No, they were not ashamed. They were not disgraced and humiliated when they committed abomination, when they committed spiritual harlotry. That's what's under consideration. Abomination to God is that which is detestable, that which is loathsome. It's that which makes God sick. So they had gone after other gods. They had forsaken and turned their back on the true and the living God. But they were not ashamed. They were not disgraced. They were not humiliated. They were not at all ashamed, he said. Nor did they know how to blush. They didn't know how to show shame. Their conscience was so seared that their behavior and conduct simply did not seem to bother them anymore. They should have been able to see their spiritual condition, but their eyes were closed to their spiritual condition. They were much like the people in the city of Corinth and the church of Corinth. When there was a young man among them who had his father's wife, but note what Paul said about them in 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 6, your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Here this young man is, he has brought spiritual death to his soul, and they seem not to be bothered by it. They should have been mourning the spiritual loss of that young man's soul. But they were glorying in the fact. Even Adam and Eve were disgraced and humiliated by their nakedness. They were ashamed of their nakedness. Genesis 3 and in verse 7. Then the eyes of both of them were opened and they knew that they were naked. Did they not know they were naked before? Of course they knew they were naked before. But now they were ashamed of their nakedness because they knew that God could look upon them. And so they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. They hid themselves because they were ashamed. They were disgraced and humiliated by their behavior. They had violated the will of God in eating the forbidden fruit. A step into apostasy, a step into backsliding, is forgetting how to feel shame, forgetting how to feel humiliation when you know yourself to be wrong in the eyes of God. Ephesians 5 and in verse 12. For it is shameful, it's disgraceful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret, by the ungodly. It's shameful, it's disgraceful, it's humiliating. But a step into apostasy is when we feel no shame. When we feel as though we're not humiliated and disgraced by that which we have done. And that was the condition Judah was in. Thus they had fallen away from God. They had turned their back on God. And they rejected the only cure that was possible for them. Jeremiah 6 and in verse 16, thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. Here's the picture. Stand in the ways and see. The ways is the road. During this particular period of time, they had traveled, you know, by animal or walked wherever they went. There wasn't a lot of road signs like we have a lot of road signs on the highways today. So stand in the ways and see. And ask for the old path. See, look, stand at the crossroads where you're at. And see, that is, look out. And see someone coming so you can ask them the direction in which you should go. Because you don't know where this path or this road goes. So you stand in the ways, you stand in the crossroads, and you look and you see, and someone comes along, and then you ask them for the old paths. That is where the good way is. The old paths where Judah would be the path of faith and obedience. The old ways and the good ways would be the way of following God according to His law. And walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. The idea is you'll find a resting place for your soul. But they said, we will not walk in it. The only cure, walk in the ways of the Lord. Walk according to His word. Live, conduct yourself, and behave yourself according to the word of God. Ask for the old paths of faith and obedience. And get on the roads of faith and obedience according to God's law. And you'll find a resting place for your soul. Yes, you'll travel the way, but it'll be a way that leads to a resting place for your soul. But they said, we will not walk in it. We're not going to keep the law of God. We're not going to obey the law of God. So the only cure, repent and return to God. Repent and return back to the Word of God. The same cure that was given to the church at Ephesus in Revelation 2 and in verse 5. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Remove your lampstand, I'll put your light out. That was the message to Judah. But they would not repent. They would not seek the old paths of faith and obedience in regard to the law that God had given them. They would not follow it. They simply would not listen and heed the word that they had been given. Verse 17, also I set watchmen over you. Watchmen were the prophets. The watchman metaphor is that of one who stands in the watchtower and he looks out. And when he sees the enemy coming, he blows the trumpet. He gives the warning sign. The warning sound. I sent watchmen over you. I sent watchmen over you saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. That is, listen to the warning that the prophets are sounding out. But they said, we will not listen. The warning was, repent and return to God, or either you're going to face judgment. You're going to face the punishment that will be meted out on you by the Babylonians. But they would not listen. And so backsliding always leads to wreck and ruin, doesn't it? Always. Jeremiah 6 and verse 18. Therefore hear, you nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will certainly bring calamity on this people, the fruit of their faults, because they have not heeded my words nor my law, but rejected it. It's a dreadful thing to be a backslider. A backslider needs to be turned back. One who's taking the steps away into apostasy, and you know, we need to think about this from time to time among our own brothers and sisters in Christ. Do we see our own brothers and sisters in Christ perhaps on the road to apostasy, taking the steps toward apostasy, taking the steps in backsliding, falling away, abandoning and forsaking God and turning their back on Him? It behooves us to turn them back. James 5 and verse 19, brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sin. Backsliding is described in some of the most sickening language of the Bible. In our reading tonight in 2 Peter 2 and in verse 20, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, know this, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. It would have been better for Judah to have never known the way, the old paths. Oh, they knew the old paths. They knew the old law, but they simply refuse to walk in it. So it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire. The only way that we can keep ourselves from backsliding is to remain in Christ Jesus. Continue in fellowship. Continue in union with Him. Continue our personal relationship with the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Ephesians 1 and verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. If you abandon and forsake Christ, if you fall away from God, you'll not be in that union and fellowship. You'll not be in the place where every spiritual blessing is found. You'll be outside of salvation. You'll be headed to doom and destruction, just as the nation of Judah was. So may we learn from backsliding Judah and not follow the guide that they followed. If you're here tonight and not a Christian, why not become one? Through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism for the remission of sins. If you're a child of God and you have sin in your life, we encourage you to repent of that sin. Ask Him to forgive you. And we'll pray with you and for you as we stand and sing the song that has been selected.